This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Chaos on college campuses. Pro-Palestinian protesters break in and occupy a Columbia University building as tensions grow at schools across the country.
We keep us safe.
The CBS Evening News starts now. Good evening. I'm Nora O'Donnell, and thank you for being with us. We're going to begin with the crackdown on increasingly defiant and dangerous protests on college campuses across the country over the war in Gaza. Tonight at Columbia University, the epicenter of the demonstrations, dozens of pro-Palestinian students have barricaded themselves inside a campus building, and they now face expulsion from the Ivy League school. A White House spokesman today saying, quote, forcibly taking over buildings is not peaceful. It is wrong. At the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, police forcefully removed protesters this morning. More than half of those arrested were not even affiliated with the university. In recent weeks, protests have been staged at more than 60 campuses. More than 1,000 people have been arrested. Many protesters are calling for the schools to cut ties with companies linked to Israel and to be transparent about their investments. CBS's Tom Hansen leads us off tonight from Columbia University in Manhattan.
Dozens of pro-Palestinian protesters smashed their way into Hamilton Hall on the campus of New York's Columbia University early this morning.
They barricaded themselves in, they brought chairs out, blocked the doors, and they moved outdoor heavy metal tables, blockaded the doors, formed human chains in front.
All the parents, mothers, fathers!
Once inside, the demonstrators hung a banner with the word Intifada, the Arabic word meaning uprising. Today, the White House said President Biden condemned the use of the term along with other dangerous hate speech. The students are demanding that Columbia divest and sell its investment in companies linked to Israel, which the university has rejected.
When you hear the conversation about divestment, how does it make you feel?
Well, personally, I don't agree with BDS or divestment, but I believe in free speech, and I think it's a conversation that should be had on campus.
This latest escalation comes a day after university officials warned the students to dismantle their encampment or face suspension. In defiance, they set up a second one.
How do you think this all resolves on Columbia?
I'm not a fortune teller, but I think, the students have made it very clear that, like, What they want is for their demands to be met. And as long as like those demands are not met, they will continue to hold their ground.
Jewish students on campus say the atmosphere has become intolerable.
When we talk about feeling unsafe on campus, we're not lying. This is a threat.
Police at the University of North Carolina were outnumbered as students threw debris at them, forcing some to use a chemical agent as they retreated. In New Orleans, part of the Uptown campus at Tulane University closed today after students and outside protesters clashed with police.
And tonight, Columbia is threatening to expel student protesters occupying campus, but the school has still not given any indication how they are going to clear the encampment. In a press conference, New York City Mayor Eric Adams says we cannot call for peace by using violence. Nora?
Tom Hansen, thank you very much. The third week of Donald Trump's New York criminal trial started with the threat of jail time for the former president. The judge held the presumptive Republican nominee in contempt of court for violating a gag order, forcing him to pay fines and take down social media posts. Trump is facing 34 felony charges related to so-called hush money payments to porn star Stormy Daniels. CBS's Jerika Duncans reports from the courthouse.
This gag order is not only unique, it's totally unconstitutional.
The $9,000 in fines are the result of nine instances where the court found Donald Trump disparaged witnesses online against the judge's orders. Judge Juan Marchand acknowledged the fines might not be enough to deter Trump and warned more violations could result in jail time.
Judge Marchand did exactly what should be done and probably what was expected to be done.
As court began, for the first time, one of Trump's children, Eric Trump, joined the former president. Prosecutors played videos of Trump weeks before the 2016 election, responding to allegations he sexually harassed women, concerned about how it could impact his chances of becoming president.
I have no idea who these women are.
If 5% of the people think it's true, and maybe 10% think, we don't win.
The focus then turned to Keith Davidson, an attorney who represented Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. Both claimed they had sex with Trump, which he denies. Davidson first described bringing McDougal's tale, which he called a blockbuster Trump story, to the National Enquirer and warned he would bring it elsewhere if they didn't quickly pay her. Davidson also says it was the Access Hollywood tape where Trump was caught saying he could grab a woman by their private areas that had a, quote, tremendous influence on interest in Stormy Daniels' story. Davidson believed he had reached a deal with Trump's attorney, Michael Cohen, in early October of 2016, but says it took longer than expected to finalize. When the prosecution asked why, Davidson said, quote, I thought he was trying to kick the can down the road until after the election. Now, the gag order does not prevent Donald Trump from speaking to the press, as you've seen, but it does prevent him from making public statements about witnesses, jurors, or other people connected to this criminal case. Now, on Thursday, the judge is expected to hold another hearing, Nora, that will review four other potential gag order violations.
Jerika Duncan, thank you. Tonight, a historic shift in U.S. drug policy is in the works. Sources tell CBS News the Justice Department is moving to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug. CBS's Weijia Jiang is at the White House. She joins us now. Good evening, Weijia. So this will be a major reform. How is it going to work?
Good evening, Nora. This is the most significant change in U.S. drug policy in more than 50 years. So marijuana, which is now classified as a Schedule One drug like heroin and illicit fentanyl, would be reclassified as a Schedule Three substance like ketamine and steroids. Drugs in this category are considered less dangerous and less addictive. It also means the consequences for using them are less severe. However, the DEA still regulates these drugs, so even if pot is reclassified, the change would not legalize marijuana for recreational use. So it's not like you'd be able to get it at your neighborhood pharmacy. 24 states and Washington, D.C. have legalized marijuana, and 14 others permit its use for medical purposes. The White House is not commenting on the proposed rule, but it was President Biden who called for a review of federal marijuana law back in 2022, and he pardoned thousands of Americans convicted of simple possession. Tonight, a former White House drug policy advisor to Presidents Obama, Bush, and Clinton is slamming the proposal, arguing there are serious health and mental consequences of using pot. And if the drug is reclassified, he plans to challenge that decision in court. Nora.
Really interesting. Weijia Jiang, thank you. We're learning new details tonight about the deadliest attack on law enforcement in nearly a decade. Four officers were killed and four others wounded as shots rang out when they tried to serve a warrant in Charlotte, North Carolina. CBS's Dave Malkoff has more on the fallen officers.
Police say 39-year-old Terry Clark Hughes, armed with an AR-15 rifle and a .40-caliber handgun, opened fire from an upstairs window of a house as a U.S. Marshals task force attempted to execute an arrest warrant for him at a Charlotte, North Carolina house on Monday afternoon. Several officers immediately came under fire as others rushed in to help.
To me, that's truly heroic when you hear the gunshots and the rapid fire. And they're running directly into it because they know that there are people that need help.
Hughes then attempted to leave the house and was shot dead. Two women were eventually taken into custody after an hours-long standoff. Neither has been charged. Tonight, we are learning more about the four officers killed. Deputy Marshal Thomas Weeks, who leaves behind a wife and four kids, William Alden Elliott and Sam Pelosi, both 14-year veterans of the State Department of Corrections, and Joshua Iyer, a CMPD police officer who died later at the hospital. DeMonte White knew Officer Iyer. He was the school police officer who inspired him to serve.
You know, when danger strikes, just like any other officer, he's going to get out there.
Today, remnants of the chaos remain. The house partially destroyed and covered in bullet holes. And a solemn procession carrying the fallen to their resting place.
You know, the last few days of... It's just been very tough.
I got to tell you, it was moving in that room when Chief Jennings was remembering his friend. The chief was just with Officer Iyer when he awarded him as Officer of the Month for April. And Nora, he leaves behind a wife and a three-year-old boy.
It is just devastating. Dave Malkoff, thank you so much. The U.S. may soon welcome some Palestinians from Gaza as refugees. CBS News has obtained internal documents showing senior Biden administration officials have discussed several options for resettling a small number of Gaza residents. It would include those who have immediate family members who are U.S. citizens or permanent residents. In the last fiscal year, the U.S. resettled 60,000 refugees from around the world. Just 56 were Palestinian. Tonight, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel for talks as the Biden administration presses Hamas to accept a deal to release some hostages in return for a temporary ceasefire. But CBS's Deborah Pata reports Israel's prime minister says even if there is a deal, he intends to go ahead with a ground invasion of the southern Gaza city of Rafah.
Protesters are turning up the heat night after night, demanding Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu bring the hostages home, whatever the price. For Netanyahu, it would mean delaying the Rafah invasion and alienating hardliners in his government, a price he's not yet ready to pay. We will enter Rafah because we have no other choice, he said today. As the Secretary of State lands in Tel Aviv, Hamas is weighing up the hostage proposal.
No more delays, no more excuses. The time to act is now.
He's here in a last-ditch bid to secure a deal to stave off the Rafah offensive and ensure Gaza is flooded with humanitarian aid. The threat of a ground invasion terrifies Adnan Abu Asi. He's done living as a refugee in Rafah and returned to what's left of his four-story family home outside Khan Yunis today. Everyone's putting up a tent on top of the rubble of their homes, he said, because they want their lives back. Abu Asi has nothing and walks several hours a day to find water or a tin of food. But at least here he has dignity, he says, and his memories of what was once the most beautiful place in Gaza.
And a glimmer of hope in Gaza today. The World Central Kitchen resumed work almost 1 month to the day seven of its workers were killed in an Israeli strike. They provided 200,000 meals to displaced Palestinians and say they have trucks ready to enter Gaza with enough food for 8 million more meals. Nora?
They're doing heroic work. Deborah Pata, thanks. There was a horrifying attack today in London. Police say a man drove into a house and then began stabbing people with a sword. Doorbell video shows police using a taser to subdue the suspect who was arrested, but not before a 14-year-old boy was killed. Four other people were hurt, including two officers. Investigators don't have a motive, but do not believe this was an act of terrorism. Tonight, millions in the central U.S. are on alert as tornado watches are in effect. The latest round of severe weather includes the threat of large hail, heavy rain, and 70-mile-per-hour gusts. Meteorologist Chris Warren is tracking it all with our partners at the Weather Channel. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, Nora. With the ongoing cleanup and recovery efforts, an increasing chance for more storms, that threat continues tonight and again tomorrow for some of the areas that were hit by tornadoes over the weekend. The storms continuing to increase during the nighttime hours. The future radar shows that the tornado threat is there. The possibility for tornadoes. Winds could be damaging up to around 75 miles an hour. These storms are also going to be bringing hail and very heavy rain. That flood threat will be with us here from Texas all the way up to Minnesota. And Nora, once again, tomorrow, another tornado threat.
Chris Warren, thank you. The FBI says scammers are getting rich off America's seniors. Today, the Bureau reported complaints by elderly victims jumped 14% last year. Total losses to those over the age of 60 ballooned by 11%. CBS's Nicole Skenga has important information on how to protect your savings.
All of a sudden,
Reverend Malcolm Frazier was browsing his computer when the screen froze.
A message jumped out, said, "Do not turn off your computer. Please call this number."
A scammer persuaded him to transfer tens of thousands of dollars in savings or lose it all.
You thought you were talking to the bank and you were talking to a scammer.
Exactly.
It's called elder fraud crime, and Americans over the age of 60 are now falling victim at record numbers.
Financial fraud is definitely on the rise, and particularly targeting our elderly population.
Last year, $3.4 billion was stolen, according to a newly released FBI report, with more than 100,000 complaints filed to federal law enforcement last year alone, driven by criminal networks operating in West Africa and Asia.
Organized networks of individuals who are well-financed, well-resourced, and are using technology.
Still, experts say the crime targeting seniors is grossly underreported. AARP estimates more than $28 billion is stolen due to elder fraud scams each year. They're now launching a public awareness campaign nationwide as the FBI visits senior centers, churches, and Rotary clubs.
If you've never met somebody in person, the best advice is to not send them any money.
Convincing members of America's silent generation to stay vigilant and to speak out.
Just don't fall for it. Hang the phone up.
FBI officials are also urging financial institutions to create more guardrails, fraud prevention measures that would help stop seniors from sending large sums of money to strangers. Nora?
Such an important story. Nicole Skenga, thank you. A tragic accident in Arizona involving a bounce house. The details when we come back.
Sound the gifting panic alarm. We've all been there. You need to find the perfect gift. You have absolutely zero ideas and you don't know where to start. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode takes the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. Just answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like, and Gift Mode gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Imagine pages of artisan espresso mugs for the coffee connoisseur in your life. Or for the pickleballer, customized paddle covers in every shade imaginable. Etsy's got you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try gift mode on Etsy now.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look like that? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. But there's an easier way. When you download Thumbtack, it's easier to care for your home from top to bottom. Pull out your phone and in just a few steps, you can search, chat, and book highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. So say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
There's a heartbreaking story from Arizona. A two-year-old boy was killed Saturday in a bounce house south of Phoenix. A powerful gust of wind hit the house and sent it crashing into a neighboring yard. The little boy died at a hospital. A second child suffered a broken arm. A spokesperson for the sheriff called it a tragic accident. There are new guidelines for when women 40 and older should be screened for breast cancer. We've got the details for you next. In tonight's Health Watch, new guidelines are being issued for breast cancer screenings. Regular mammograms are now being recommended to start younger, at age 40, and women up to 74 should get screened every other year. Previously, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommended that women get the exams every 2 years, starting at age 50. The updated guidelines do not apply to women with a history of breast cancer or who have a genetic marker, such as the BRCA1 or BRCA2 genes, that may put them at higher risk. Remember, those patients should consult with their doctors. Breast cancer is the second most common cancer among American women after skin cancer. Earlier screenings are meant to address the rise in breast cancer among women in their 40s and the higher death rate from breast cancer among Black women. It's estimated the new approach will save about 20% more lives. We should tell you that experts we spoke with say these guidelines don't go far enough and that women 40 and over should be screened every year. Talk to your doctor. Important information. For people with sensory issues, getting a haircut can be stressful. We're going to meet a barber who cuts through anxiety with kindness. That's next.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Finally, tonight's Heart of America, meet Billy the Barber. Billy Dinnerstein is the owner of Your Kind of Cuts in Nutley, New Jersey. His barbershop gives haircuts to children and adults with autism, sensory issues, and other developmental disabilities. Their services are so unique and special that some of Dinnerstein's customers even fly in from out of state. And it's made him a big star on social media. The haircuts at his shop have a special brand of patience and kindness, customized to each customer's individual needs. His barbers are trained to make everyone feel comfortable and to make sure every visit is a positive experience.
If I can present an atmosphere or environment for you in a tough situation that helps you a little bit more comfortable moving forward, then that's my goal. Like, at the end of the day, you know, I'm not here trying to win any award for being Barber of the Year. I mean, we're here just trying to help kids.
Billy Dinnerstein, a barber who's a cut above the rest, and he's tonight's Heart of America. And that's tonight's CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell. Good night.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert. And I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
And how long have you been the producer of this?
We've been doing this for 2 years now.
Okay. And what is it like to attempt to get feedback from me about the podcast? Be honest about how quickly I respond to emails.
You actually respond to emails surprisingly fast.
Really? I think you might be the only person I respond to quickly. Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
I expected you to lay into me.
Well, this was over the strike period.
Oh, I had time.
Yeah.
See, that doesn't count. Sure, I responded to everything because responding to you putting reruns up on the podcast was like a form of employment.
Yeah.
And I felt like I had something to get up for every day. So thank you for that. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
The Hargan women seem to have it all.
From the outside looking in, we were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But as detectives would soon learn, there was a lot going on inside the Hargan household.
Ashley and I have been calling my mom and the house and Helen. No one's answering.
63-year-old Pamela Hargan gunned down in her own home. Her youngest daughter, Helen, lay dead upstairs.
Patrol, when they arrived, assumed or thought that there might have been a murder-suicide.
But for the detectives on the scene...
There were things about the scene itself that were concerning to us on day one.
Who would want to kill their mother and their little sister?
There is no boogeyman here. It is exactly who we think it is.
I'm Peter Van Sant from 48 Hours. This is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts.